I like the old-timey Daredevil pictures here.
Yeah.
This is the first issue. Oh. The first issue, they do panel by panel, and it's somebody does the voiceovers with music and everything. It's pretty interesting, actually.
I would have liked to see, like, the... When did they do those cartoons? The 60s?
I was looking for one. That's what I was looking for. I couldn't find a Daredevil one. I don't think they did one. Which is weird.
He's the horniest man in New York.
It meant something different then, I assume.
Yeah, I assume. Yeah.
So what are we talking about today?
I don't know.
What do you want to talk I think about? We're talking about some guy. What's his name?
I don't know.
And the name's Daredevil. You would have to be a daredevil to dare to challenge me. I'm taking your family.
I dare you
to. Have your son, and I have you. My son!
Daredevil. It's a big thing. The Netflix thing.
Just launched on Friday. Right, or Saturday, or Friday was it?
Should we talk about when we're recording this?
Yeah, we're recording it the day
of... On the day of its release.
So we've all watched all of it.
On Friday, which is today.
Yeah, we just got finished. Really good, but you know what? We're not going to spoil it for the audience.
No spoilers.
Nope. We totally, definitely all watched it for real.
No. Everybody got up at 3:01 and started watching it?
Absolutely everybody. You did, listening to this right now, I assume.
But just in case.
Just in case.
For you.
Yeah. We won't blow it.
Hey, no problem, buddy.
Hey, some of us might take a couple of weeks to see it. Not anyone in this room, because God. Because
we already saw it.
Duh. Absolutely.
I'm the only one who's watched it.
It's true.
No, let's pad this bit more.
I've only watched an episode in 3/4.
Yeah.
But it so far, brilliant. I won't go into it because you guys haven't seen it, and who knows who's listening has seen it or not.
Every bit of anything I've heard has just been overwhelmingly positive. So
I was just very, very impressed with the whole tone and acting and everything and just how it's all kind of playing out. Very cool. But we're not really talking about the Netflix episode here.
We can touch on it.
We'll touch on it, totally. Because it's kind of the catalyst for the whole thing. But we're really talking just about Daredevil overall. Not really anything specific, just the whole character himself.
Hey, we like Daredevil.
I like him.
No, let's date him.
Did you ever collect him? Or you're doing it now, aren't you?
Yeah, I have off and on.
And that's the Mark Waid?
Yes. Currently, I have read, like, you know, the main, you know, kind of definitive runs for the most part. Mm. Not necessarily when they came out, but currently, I'm reading the Mark Waid run, Waid and Chris Samnee. And it's phenomenal. Like, if you're not reading that, you should be reading that. And I think it's ending soon. So, you know.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I think.
Seems like not a very long run.
Well, it had like a 30-something issue run, and then it restarted, and it's on like the 14th to 15th issue now.
Okay, right.
So as a whole, it like restarted with a new number one, kind of like a, you know, it was kind of like a season break kind of a thing, because it kind of had a different direction.
I didn't quite make it through that quote-unquote first season then.
Oh, okay.
I got real close, but then I just sort of looked away for a second.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, okay, no, I forgot.
The news gone.
Yeah.
He's very fast.
I quit collecting it right before that run started.
Oh, okay.
So you've gone through all of Shadowland.
Well, that's why I quit.
Oh, shoot. Which,
you know, in my preparation for this episode, looking up, just who thought, like, Comic Book Resources just did a big countdown for the past, I don't know, like, week or two or something of the top storylines that they people have voted in as the best storylines for Daredevil.
Right.
And so, you know, like they release it like every couple of days.
I wonder
like,
who
three
won.
Three or four at a time. Yeah, exactly. I think it was Shadowland.
Yeah. With the winner.
Yeah. Shadowland, I believe, was on that list.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's, you know what, but I don't know if they were, I'd have to
it
think of like.
It wasn't the worst thing, it wasn't good, but.
I think it was the lead up to it.
But if it's
it
on
the
best
bad,
of
then,
list, that's,
yeah.
No.
But then I also saw it on the worst list.
Oh, okay.
Somebody else's worst list, and I was like, yeah, that's why I was really into the whole, the Maliv thing, then Brubaker and Lark, and.
Right.
I was taking it, even the, some of the Andy Diggle stuff was good, but then the Shadowland thing.
Like, I like Andy Diggle. Yeah. I like a lot of stuff he's done, but
it wasn't bad, but it like the lead up to it wasn't bad, but it just that.
It also has, you know, again, like there was some stuff that, not so great. But I mean, it had, like it was following two of like incredibly good runs.
Yeah.
So it's hard to follow that.
But it's funny, when I was reading all this stuff about it, that it was looking at whoever's run on it, this was, this definitive storyline was the best, like was number five. And all of them started with referencing who was writing it before and saying it was really hard to follow up who came before.
Yeah, right.
But then after like the fourth or fifth time you said that, I'm like, how can you keep saying that?
Because
everybody
Daredevil stories just get better and better.
Yeah. Well, they're like, well, after the Miller run, then it was this, and then after this, it like what was Quesada and and Kevin Smith, and then after Kevin Smith was Bendis and Maliv picked it up, and after Maliv, then it was like you're like. Okay.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And after Jesus, Super Jesus.
Yeah. I love Super Jesus.
Well, you know, I liked his earlier stuff.
His New Testament stuff, though.
Yeah, well, you know, like anything.
Like, Jesus was good, but Super Jesus?
Anything post-resurrection, I just feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you guys, did you read Pentecost? It's not great.
It gets a little preachy, so.
Whoa! And it ties in because Catholic.
Yeah.
So these aren't just stupid jokes. They're stupid
topical
jokes.
These are bang-on jokes.
We're building a web, but it's not the Spider-Man episode.
No, it's a different kind of web.
Yeah.
It's like a web that when a blind guy walks into it, he's like, oh, there's a spider web in my face.
Didn't see
that. I'm going to stay away from that kind of humor.
Yeah. Mm. There we go. Oh, yep. So, I'm...
And cut. So, Miller, let's just get that over with.
Yeah, that's, I'm assuming, number one on that list. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And for good reason, because, I mean, it defined that character permanently.
And redefined that character, and redefined a lot in comics.
Sure.
Which I never really thought about until I was reading some people's points on it. I was like, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. Just the way that he, up to that point, Daredevil had not been that dark. Part of it's just his visual style. It's very shadow-oriented, very dark, and just his layouts and stuff. Just working with that sort of a lot of blacks and whatever.
He's very lazy. He doesn't want to draw a lot.
Exactly.
So.
Just puts X here. Just fill that in.
Yeah.
Anchor. I'm not even going to do it myself. but just like, it didn't click till I was reading it that when he took over, I didn't realize he did it for that long. It was 79 to 86. I didn't think his run was that long.
Wow.
But he had like 7 years. Jesus.
Well, around that time, it was more common for people to do long runs.
I guess
like
so,
that.
Yeah.
Like now if you see someone do a book for 3 years, like, wow, that was outstanding. But no, that was nothing.
Yeah, that was pretty common back then.
And what he also did was take, didn't click till they said this, Kingpin was primarily a Spider-Man foe.
Right.
And he brought him in to the Daredevil thing. He might have had like a thing or two before with Daredevil, but really redefined him as like a main Daredevil villain.
To the point where...
And redefined the character, really.
Yeah. To the point where you know, you see squabbling over film rights to characters.
Yeah.
You've never seen Kingpin in a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
It seemed like that wasn't even on the table.
Which is funny because that's like for decades.
Yeah.
That's, or a decade at least, that's primarily where it was.
Right.
That and then introducing Elektra. And you don't realize, it's different now, you don't realize at that point releasing, or having a character like Elektra, how different she is as a female character. and how they used her and how he used her. What there's like a kind of the sexual tension between he was like they were foes, then they became lovers, and then at the height of her popularity, he kills her.
Yeah.
Like in that just that sort of story arc, using that character in that way, that's pretty unheard of.
Yeah.
Especially that
at the time. At the time.
Yeah, at the time. Yeah.
Which again, yeah, was yeah. What as you said, it changed the property, it changed comics in a lot of ways. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah no, it's yeah, that's one of those for sure, like all time like definitive moments in comics for sure. So mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's hard to get out of that shadow a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Where did
they haven't tried though. I mean, there's been fun Daredevil recently.
Very recently, yeah. And that's actually kind of why I love the Wade run so much, is because...
They let him smile?
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like, they're kind of like recapturing like the classic, like the original kind of swashbuckling mm-hmm. sort of fun aspect of it, but at the same time not ignoring everything he's right. been through. Because they had, you know, when it first started, he was sort of, you know, he was acting very like fine. It was, like, right after Shadowland. Yeah. He'd been, what, literally possessed by a demon.
Yeah.
He'd seen, you know, so much just misery and tragedy in his life. It was you know... So, yeah, and they basically had him acting like everything's sort of okay. He was trying to be okay, basically, mm-hmm. and he was sort of trying to deal with it in a way that might not have been healthy. He really just had sort of a mental break, and he was dealing with depression in a really bad way. And Foggy had called him on that, basically, and he's sort of, like, trying to pick up the pieces and trying to be okay, even though he's not. It was yeah. well-handled, I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought it was,
I haven't really read it, but I've heard tons about it.
Again, you should. Yeah, but they touched on
I
that
didn't
very...
I finish it, and I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you had, like...
What I read, I really liked.
Yeah.
Until I hated it, then I stopped.
It's not that I hated it. I just stopped paying attention. I lost my train of thought. Where am I?
But, I mean, you had him, yeah, sort of, I think the first cover had was him, and they did really kind of cool inventive things just sort of with, visually with it and stuff, because they had, like, mm-hmm. the radar sense, which you've seen before, but you had, like, the cover was sort of, the background and everything around him, I think, was just sort of, like, sound effects, taking the shapes of
right,
things.
Yeah.
And it had him with, like, covering his eyes up, and he had, like, with the Billy Club and smiling, and it was just like, oh, this is different. But yeah, I like that a lot, how you had Foggy basically saying, like, you're not right. You're not okay. Stop pretending you're okay. Because there's no way you can be okay. But working past it, slowly, and it felt very earned, and it feels very, like, instead of, like, trying to revert to something, it feels like it's actual character development. And I'd say more than... that character's actually had in a very long time. Because I think, like, a lot of creators, and to good effect sometimes, have just tried to, like...
Drag him through the mud?
Yeah, exactly. Just keep dragging him further down, putting him through more tragedy and stuff. And there's a point, I think, where it's kind of like, yeah, it's not really... I mean, it was a huge character development for him at one point. But at some point, it's just, you're really trying to do Miller. You're trying to match that or one-up it. And you can't. And there's, you know what I mean? You can tell some good stories that way, but there's that point where it's sort of like, you know, if somebody goes through that and does not at least sort of try to rise above it a little bit, it just feels like they're kind of stuck there. And I don't think that's, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like that's not good for the character or the property, really. And yeah, so hit lightning up a bit, great. The San Francisco move, great. I don't know if you guys are still reading it.
I'm not.
Okay, and you're not. We can establish this, yes. Or have kept up with stuff. But they had the most, I don't know if it's the most recent issue or the last one I've read anyway. He's, so everyone knows, he's Daredevil now. Like that, he came out with it.
Right.
He said, like, I'm Daredevil. He moved to San Francisco. And then he's decided to sort of own it as a lawyer. So his new costume is like a red suit. He's got like a red...
I saw that and I was like, no.
Yeah. We sort of like...
Context is important.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, he's trying to...
He just told him it was a black suit.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Oh. That's hard. So he's got, like, a black... Yeah,
well, I suppose we all get one.
He's got, yeah, so he's got, like, a three-piece suit with, like, a belt buckle with the DD symbol, and he's just, like, totally, like, kind of hamming it up as, like, a celebrity lawyer, basically. Because
he's, like, he's one of the devil's advocates. He's showing up on Speaker's Corner.
CanCon. A lot of people getting that reference.
I hope so.
Yeah. And, yeah, so he's in California, he's trying to kind of own that, and he's trying to get on top of things that way, and, it's a cool-looking look. It's not one that's going to last.
No.
It's going to be one that's going to be for that particular story arc, but it looks awesome. And, it's kind of interesting to see, like, you know, that was probably, in my books anyway, was the best development of, recent-ish years, was, again, outing the public identity. Love that.
Well, yeah, now that you say that, I can see what you mean by it hasn't been a lot of character development specifically for him, but I think one of the strongest parts of, like, you know, for the long time it was Bendis, then it was, like, Brubaker and a couple others took over.
Right.
And they've all had that same sort of tone and approach, and I think one of the strongest parts was, like, obviously there's a character development and whatever, and plot development with him. Sorry.
I was going, get all the beer.
Out of it. Yeah. Okay, it's like it's like a ketchup bottle.
Clap.
Yeah, that'll count. Sorry.
Well, yeah. It's they develop his character, but then they've created this circle of characters around him and kind of like the Hell's Kitchen thing and then all the peripheral characters, the villains, all the little villains, like the crappy B villains.
Yeah,
and then, right. And then all the B characters and then characters like Foggy and whoever. Like those sort of, like, a lot of the times more than a lot of other books, like those characters are way more developed than you would see in another book.
Yeah,
It becomes more of a cast thing rather than Daredevil with a couple of side friends that help him out and little characters that help him here and there or bounce it off, and then here's your one villain and whatever. But.
Right. When, like, yeah, like, there was, when exactly did Foggy, I don't recall offhand, it's not.
When did he find out?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That's the question, right?
Honest, yeah.
Find out what?
Oh. We have to tell you something. Daredevil, he's Matt Murdock.
Oh, I thought my parents were getting divorced.
When did Foggy find out that his parents are getting divorced?
He already knew. He drew up the papers.
Yeah, that's...
Damn it, Foggy! How could you keep this from him? I gotta pay the bills.
Yeah. Because he knew, yeah, he had known probably, I don't know, I assume in the 90s at some point or something like that, so yeah.
I'm not sure, and then you have also those things where it's like, not retcon, but just kind of changed around, or something happens and like, oh, suddenly he doesn't know, or...
Yeah. Or he always knew.
Yeah, right. Or things like that, and then...
Right before he dies, he said, I always knew, and he was a clone or an actress.
Well, the fact that you say that he...
Too painful. It was Jon Favreau.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Chubby Jon Favreau.
He's going to be an ultimate fighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, yeah. You said that he outed himself as Daredevil in San Francisco. When that's
well, just huge, before, yeah. Well,
but
like he
that's a huge, huge, long story arc in the previous ones where Daredevil, or not Daredevil, Kingpin had released that information, basically knew who he was.
Right.
And whoever leaked the information.
The beginning of the Bendis run, I think.
I don't know if it was...
Or somewhere in there. It was
partway through Bendis, and then...
It was like... I think
Brubaker continued it.
Yeah, it was like a new character basically leaked it and stuff, and then it became just one of those things where, you know, either you believed it or you didn't, and he was denying it.
Yeah.
But he was like coyly denying it. Like, no, I am not Daredevil.
Yeah.
Well, no, but he was actually...
As it went on, at first, I think he was like suing people and like over it. And
okay.
So he was actually doing that at the end of the previous volume of the current run with Wade there. He kind of... The only way he could defeat, like win this certain struggle was by... coming out with it.
Right.
But in doing so, he got disbarred in New York. Because he had done some things, you know, which were dishonest, and he got disbarred, but...
He was doing illegal things as a vigilante, so you can't really be a lawyer.
Yeah, but also he'd, like, sued people and stuff over...
Right.
Saying, you know, based on him not being Daredevil, and then he is, so it's like, oh, okay, yeah, you're disbarred. But he'd previously, you know,
practiced. Well, we'll take any lawyers in California.
Yeah. I guess he'd previously practiced in there, and apparently, I don't know, yeah,
he was there in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he was able to go back, and apparently they didn't apply over there, according to the comic anyway. I don't know. The legal system in America is, you know, fucked. So, I assume it's true.
Governor Schwarzenegger signed something. And
yeah, exactly.
It's all good.
Yep.
You can practice here.
You can do it.
Yeah, I can't do it. Schwarzenegger.
I'm also Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm Kyle Reese.
I caught it.
It's a hell of a callback.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah.
Hey, do you remember that time when Daredevil beat up Ultron with a stick?
I do.
Right?
I know. It's true. Were they in, like, a junkyard or something?
Tell me more. Tell me
they
more.
They were in a park. It was part of a...
Junkyard park, whatever. It's junkyard.
It's junkyard. Like a junkyard for trees.
Just everywhere. Clean up this mess.
It's a junkyard for frisbees.
It was part of Acts of Vengeance. And it was...
Oh, okay. So nothing but good times.
It was Dr. Doom, and he took all the previous Ultrons and amalgamated them into one. So
and only like, one man could stop them.
And they all had all the... Yeah, all the personalities, they're battling over each other. Like, there wasn't one... I guess there was one dominant one, but he was still hearing all these voices, whatever, as a robot. But the one dominant one was the only one that actually liked humans.
Oh, no. I mean, that's actually better for...
Yeah. But, yeah, then they started to battle, and he... There was us. There was a couple of the heroes that helped out, and were, like, hitting him and knocking him over or whatever, and smacking him, and I guess this...
It was the only Ultron who was susceptible to concussions.
Yeah, that's basically it. It was, like, his neck... His head started to separate, and you could, like, the wires and whatever you could see in his neck, and I was like, so that... There was like
Ultron.
Yeah, it's like an adamantium bucket was put on his head, but not attached to anything. Just Jesus loosely. Christ.
Dr. Doom did this?
Yeah, it must. Yeah.
He was slipping.
Yeah.
It was Christoph.
That would explain a lot.
Latvarian manufacturing.
Yeah.
Pretty horrible.
Yeah, you get what you pay for.
Cut a lot of corners. The European market's just not what it used to be.
No.
In robots.
This is why Doombots are not really that big of a threat, really.
Yeah.
And then hit him with a stick?
Yeah, yeah. So he'd gotten a little loose in the head, and all of a sudden he comes up with a big stick and whacks. And then he is at the point where there's still a lot of talking out loud and
right,
and
narrating everything
there.
If I hit you with this stick, you're hitting me with the stick!
It's like, I can see that his head's been loosened, and it's the non-adamantium... Parts of his body are breaking
loose. It's just shitty old vibranium.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
silver medal of the Marvel Universe.
Thanks for spoiling the twist ending of Age of Ultron, dick.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen.
They went back in time and hit him in the neck with a stick.
Specifically Daredevil. He wasn't in the movie.
Charlie Cox shows up.
Yeah. Whack, hits him with the stick. Kane. Looks at the camera and says, watch me on Netflix. And then just runs away.
Daredevil. Daredevil. Hashtag Daredevil.
I'd still be happy to see that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Age of Ultron.
Is that a... not going to do it.
No.
No.
I was in a toy store today.
Were you?
And they had... obviously pushing all these Avengers toys. Mm-hmm. They actually had a set of larger figurines, but they came in a set of them. And there was two Iron Man, and one almost looked like War Machine. I don't know, couldn't have been. But then there was Quicksilver in the blue suit.
Blue suit?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like with
jogging suit?
No, with the with the white lightning bolt kind of sash thing. Yeah, I was like, that's the first time I've ever seen him as a figure.
They've had that.
Well, in that size and in that style.
Yeah. Like his good costume.
Yeah, it's like the kind of the pale blue.
Yeah.
Yeah,
His costume, I think, is the word you're
looking for. Yeah.
I think it needs a qualifier because that thing is just a shirt. You're just wearing a
shirt. Oh, like in the movie. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's got some Under Armour on.
He's got a Helly Hansen suit.
Yeah. Fantastic. Nice.
Will you keep talking? I'm gonna get another beer.
Absolutely. All right. I was in it's and more to the yeah not to go back but I mean the whole idea the Miller run obviously Hell's Kitchen being an absolute crime nightmare
right
was pretty had a lot of power in that specific time in history like 70s early 80s kind of New York yeah okay. And this is kind of, again...
Doesn't make as much sense now?
No. And this is, again, part of why I'm just going to stop gushing about the Wade run anytime now. No, I won't. but part of what lightening them up right now makes a lot of sense because I was there. I stayed in, you know, in that neighborhood for a couple of days on my bachelor trip with, you know, Greg, who was
one of those other bachelors.
Yeah. So we went and we stayed. We did, like, an Airbnb thing. It's just damn nice. It is just damn nice. It is a damn nice neighborhood.
More like Hex Kitchen.
Yeah, really. Not even that. It was, yeah, I went and saw The Daily Show, and that's around in that neighborhood. You could go see
Hell's Gourmet.
Well, for a little while.
For a little while, yeah. I assume the building will stay. Yeah.
And they're going to move it to Burbank.
Going to San Francisco now.
But yeah, that neighborhood has changed so much in that amount of time. Where
and you've got Daredevil to thank.
Yeah, you do because he really cleaned that place up for sure. Lightening things up makes a little bit of sense tonally because it's sort of like you know at the point where in the 2000s it was like Hell's Kitchen's like a crime nightmare. Still, it's like no, like I understand there's a certain...
that guy's selling balloons.
They should move it to Thunder Bay.
I understand they have the
topical.
Oh, boy. I guess they got that sliding timescale thing going on, and you sort of have to, you know, it's not the real world exactly, but it always kind of, there should at least be an attempt in Marvel to kind of represent, like, have them living in something close to the real world.
Yeah. So, given that sliding timeline, I just thought of this. Who was president when Captain America got on thawed now? At this point?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Or got thawed.
Thawed. I guess it would have had to been like...
Was it like Bush?
It probably would have been George W. Bush, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Because, you know, it's like Captain America always got unfrozen 10 or 15 years in the past from where we are now.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, that's how the timeline sort of works, does it not?
It kind of has to, because it would have been... Sure, well... I always look at it, I use Peter Parker as sort of my guideline, because he started off when he was like 15, 16.
Right.
You know, he's sort of perpetually like late 20s now, I would assume. Yeah. So it's been like, you know, maybe like 10, 12 years. So I assume Captain America was like slightly after that. You could say it's around the same time frame. So,
that'd be funny to make a cartoon or a strip, just with all of them sitting down and kind of talking and trying to figure out. So you're how old?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, when was I unfrozen? I got hit by a gamma bomb. When was this? I don't
remember. When were we using gamma radiation?
Yeah, shouldn't I be like 85 now?
Yeah.
My knees hurt.
So stay tuned for that on our bonus
content. Yeah, that's gonna happen.
That we do all the time.
So I assume, it would have to be during the Bush years. I assume he just got thawed out, and, you know...
September 12th. Okay, we thawed this motherfucker. You know what we need now is morality.
They didn't get it.
And they didn't thaw that out.
It was mostly just, like, Cap just sort of just standing around.
What happened?
Yeah, exactly. Watching all the things happening after that and just being just really upset about everything.
And then he went...
Can you freeze me again?
And then he
that
went...
was better.
All right, Steve, we've got good news and bad news. Good news. We won the war and everyone you know is dead. Wait, that part... Oh, that's part of the bad news, I suppose.
We mostly have bad news.
The other bad news is... Bawk, 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 bawk. I'm going to reference that in every episode.
You found a way.
Yeah. I love catchphrases.
Yep. If you don't know what I'm talking about, goggle it.
Yeah. Definitely do that.
That does nothing.
Nope.
That
does not
happen. Yeah.
So what else is up about old Hornhead?
Yeah.
I like how every superhero at a certain point had to have a nickname. Oh, it's Winghead.
Webhead.
No, no one's...
Webhead,
Hornhead. Shellhead. Shellhead. We're all just head.
Freedom head.
Cap with his freedom head.
Just add head to something, true believers. That's the worst Stanley impression of all time.
I'm old.
I'm gonna talk about
Excelsior. One day I need to find out what that means.
Yeah.
That just sounded evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it just turns into Skeletor.
Yeah. I'm thinking of more nicknames.
Yeah.
Stretch head, rock head, Hulk head.
Flame head.
Gamma head.
Gamma head. Yeah.
Great head.
Big head. That was the Watcher.
Big head.
Just head head.
Head head.
Like MODOK. Body head.
Body head. Just head.
Hey. You should deal with MODOK. You're getting just head.
MODOK. Mo Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we should talk about...
anything other than Mo Dick.
Yes. We gotta get back on topic with Daredevil.
Yeah.
So we should talk about a certain adaptation that everyone is talking about these days, which is the 2003 movie.
The Affleck movie. Affleck!
Yeah. So what the fuck about that movie, you guys?
We were talking a little bit about this before.
Great Kingpin.
Oh, yeah.
Great Kingpin.
Michael Clark Duncan, I like that.
No.
There was stuff about it that was a weird one.
I liked him and I didn't. He was not my favorite part of it, but I saw where you were going and I was like, it's not bad.
What was your favorite part of it?
I don't know. I don't
Was it hate... Jennifer Garner?
Probably.
I thought you were pouring beer into my lap. I was like,
Boo!
Not in the lap.
I don't know. Everybody, it's been universally panned, but there are some way worse movies than that.
Oh, absolutely.
Even in the like in,
that
in
director's the, made some way worse movies. So yeah.
Yeah.
Who directed it?
Didn't he do Ghost Rider also? Mark Steven Johnson, I think his name is. Why do I know?
Oh, Mark Paul Gosling. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Paul Gosling.
Yeah. Time out. I gotta go fight some crime.
That's why Daredevil was always doing that in that movie.
I would watch that Daredevil.
Do you know what? Him doing Time Out, I gotta go fight some crime, would be less cheesy than that park fight with Elektra. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did you like about the movie?
He threw his cane in the air, and they both did like a boo-boo-boo showdown, and then he went, and caught it like this, and even at the time, I was like, what the fuck was that? Even then.
That's funny that you say that. Because you tend to be like, I want more of the lighter stuff. But when you get it, you don't like it.
I like lighter stuff. I like lighter stuff. I like good lighter stuff. And there's a way to do camp. Like, that was camp. Again, it was a weird one because it seemed like it was kind of, they were going for like some sort of like new metal, like kind of like fake gritty. That, it was 2003. You know what I'm talking about?
Can you do that again, please?
Boo. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it had a lot of, like, that era's kind of, like, you know, fake, kind of, like, edgy, gritty. Yeah,
Evanescence.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, that tone to it, and it was sort of, like, trying to... It was like, the weird kind of, like, PG-13 level, trying to be that, but not quite hitting it.
Dark. He slept in a sensory deprivation tank.
Yeah, and he was all scarred up, and it was, like, trying to be, like, real.
It's like they were trying to make a Batman.
What? Fantastic.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, they had those moments where they were trying to do that, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, they're going for that. I like that. At the same time, it was just, at times, it was just almost cartoonishly campy.
Well, that's...
It was a weird mix that didn't
work.
That's
the problem I have with the movie, is that it didn't flow properly, and there was a couple of major things that just threw way off track.
Yeah.
And then it was just the universal tone. You just couldn't keep it. Like, the stuff that was a little on the darker, whatever, and it kind of explored more of the character, and then just bits throughout I liked, but yeah. Yeah. You throw the other stuff in, I was like, that doesn't fit at all. Where is this going?
And like either and, or. And you
Bullseye, know, you could I fucking hated Bullseye.
That's, it's the thing, right? That's fair. I didn't, you know, yeah, I mean, I did.
Colin Farrell was horrible, and you know what? That was at the point where I didn't like Colin Farrell at all.
Yeah.
Then I saw that, and I was like, I hate this guy. I saw In Bruges, and that redeemed it all.
Oh, sure.
But at the same
time. Well, again, I went back and watched Daredevil again, and I didn't know how to feel.
I hate him again.
The thing about that movie is, like, there were certain aspects of it that were kind of, like, just campy silly, and he was that.
Yeah.
Like, he was 100%, like, it was almost like he thought he was in some sort of a remake of the 60s Batman show where, like, a villain killed people, right? This like, is the Bullseye, blah, blah, blah. Like, he was just goofing it up the whole time. Which, there's a place for that, but fuck, I don't even know, I don't understand.
I think it was, he was trying to do the crazy thing, but it was just coming across much more campy.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. But a lot of other things came off that campy in that movie, too, though, right? So, it's, yeah, like, I don't know, it just felt like, that but whoever made that movie was just like, I'm making two or three different movies and just cram them together.
What if we put Kevin Smith in? Just for a second. For a second.
But wasn't he, like, named after Jack Kirby, too?
Yeah.
Listen, there's been a lot of insults to Jack Kirby. It's not the biggest one. But it's one of them.
He hadn't quite gone full Smith at that point.
That's true.
He was close.
That's when I was happy to see Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not happy to see Kevin Smith now.
I feel like if I met Kevin Smith and we were, like, hanging out, I'd be like, I like you, you're a good dude. But I just feel like he's kind of, I don't know, man. There's some, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but we were listening to some of his podcasts. And he's, there's sort of a level of hucksterism where it's charming. And then there's his. And it was,
just pitching his own stuff.
Yeah. But he, like, went on for, like, minutes long. It's like, feed the podcast bird. Give me some money. Feed the bird. And it was just, like, he went on for minutes like that. We were driving from the border or something, like, listening to this. And me and my wife were looking at each other just like, what the fuck is this? It was just obnoxious and just not funny at all. And I feel like he can be really good. But I feel like he doesn't have that filter in his mind where it's just like, hey, here's the good aspects of what you do, and here's the stuff where you're just being an ass. And he doesn't know how to cut that out.
It's just all good.
Yeah. And again, whatever. I mean, like, Kevin Smith as an actor, maybe not, you know. Him having a cameo in a Daredevil movie, that's fine. It was not a major role or anything like that, but it was sort of, Anyway, we're going to move right on past that. We'll talk about Kevin Smith again, because we're doing a Daredevil episode.
Boop, boop. Boop, boop. Going on with that then? Like, who else?
Okay.
I don't know where to go with it. I've mentioned it before, and I remember not remembering the entire story, and we were talking a bit about it, that I love the B villains, and there was one that I was pretty sure was Brubaker and Lark. During their run, that it was like one of the crappy characters that kind of had
like the owl.
No, it was Gladiator, and I couldn't remember who. Gladiator.
That was
not
whole story was kind of.
Oh no, it's Gladiator. No, it's the other one.
Yeah,
like that was yeah. Like, and it was great.
So, it was done so well, just to show like this guy's great, turnaround. But depressing. He was like a villain, then he got out of it and went straight, and he was doing well, and he was actually an ally to Daredevil several points, and then just gets caught up in this.
Was it like schizophrenia or something? Or he was like being. He wasn't in control of himself.
No, it wasn't. He was being affected by something.
Yeah, and it just went very, very tragic and very sad.
And a big part of that was.
Being manipulated.
Yeah. But a big part of that was Lark's art in that. That's where I fell in love with his art. It's not hyper realistic. It's kind of got like what Maleev has with that, like very realistic approach to drawing people. But you have like a blocky, inky kind of thing. But you really he's very good at nuancing emotion in somebody's face,
right?
And just getting that stuff across. And it was like, wow, just a lot of it was just talk. It wasn't a heavy action.
It's sort of like in its own context, it's realistic, I guess, in a way where it's not exaggerated.
It's not,
but
it's not the corny, it's still stylistic. Stuff, and it's not just here's a block kind of thing,
right?
Yeah.
Like, oh no, absolutely. It's yeah, and especially when you had stories like that, and in that era, you had a lot of them where they were very emotionally,
yeah,
emotionally kind of devastating at times. He brought that across damn well.
And I think in that same run, seeing these lists of who thought whatever run was the best one, they're all ranked and stuff. One came up that had a little snippet of during the time when he had been outed, but it wasn't, yeah, like we were saying earlier, it wasn't, nobody was totally sure, and he wasn't saying, he was still saying, oh, I'm not Daredevil, and he's still fighting it. And the FBI is looking into whether he's Daredevil or not. Right, and there's two FBI agents who are having this discussion back and forth, and they start to kind of just work through these things. And it's funny, it's like, it's comic book logic that a lot of this, you can do all this stuff, but you did in real life, you would be caught in 30 seconds.
Right.
Because everybody could see that you're this guy. But they start to kind of put this stuff together, and they're like, oh, you, oh, what did he say? He said, he's like, oh, well, him and Foggy used to work for, the Kingpin, and the other guy's like, well, so is every lawyer in this city, though. So you can't. So he starts just listing things off, and he's like, are you actually saying that he is him? He's like, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just like, he's just like throwing out all this stuff. Like, he's like, well, we looked into his past, and he's like, his dad was a boxer. And he's like, yeah, so? And he's like, well, his dad was killed by the mafia. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then start to go through all these little things. And then he's like, well, remember that assassin that worked for the Kingpin, the woman, Elektra? Yeah. Well, turns out he dated her in college. They're like, what? They start making these kind of, and it sounds like a regular conversation that these people would have, and just kind of putting all these two nobody FBI agents who are like, holy shit, and they're like, well, so what? He knew her.
Yeah.
Well, remember that time when she actually died, and she, they found
remember
her.
That time?
Sorry,
she
died. Sorry. That came.
Did this conversation, was this during the Brubaker run or the Bendis run?
I'm not sure.
Because if it was in the Bendis run, it was probably three issues.
No, I know it wasn't very long.
Eating soup.
Yeah,
we love you, Bendis. I love you.
just kidding.
When she gets killed, they find her in a bloody pool in on somebody's doorstep, and he's like, "Yeah." He goes, "That was Murdoch's doorstep," and he's like, "What?" And that's the point. He's like, "Are you actually saying that he is this guy? Oh my god!" And he's like, "I don't know what I'm saying.
Hey,
like,
I'm not saying anything.
I don't know anything." Like, and it's just kind of funny that it's like, and it's those peripheral kind of things,
right,
that I find that seem to happen more in Daredevil. I don't know if it's just those writers tend to do that more, like playing with those peripheral ones that.
Right.
It makes it more interesting that way.
The Elektra connection was, you know, that's a coincidence in story anyway.
Yeah.
They happen to both turn out that way, but yeah. It's plausible deniability. That's all I'm saying. If anyone can make a case of that, it's Foggy Nelson. How important do you think, just to switch gears entirely, his Catholicism? Sometimes, in some stories, it's incredibly important. In some stories, it seems kind of like an afterthought.
Yeah. Well, but that's what happened.
I think it really does depend on the writer and what they want to say about the character.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think
That was introduced by Miller, too.
Yeah.
There was no mention of Catholicism before he stepped in, and then,
Oh, not at all?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. Again, Miller with his defining... God. Any thoughts on that aspect of the character at all?
I think it's an interesting thing, and it adds just another layer of depth that it's...
Oh, for sure.
And it's one of those few things where how many characters? I think we've talked a little bit about it at one point. We're talking about religion.
It was
during the Christmas stuff.
Yeah, probably.
We probably didn't even mention him. But there's you always think of Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
As being the main one. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of others, but it's very,
very minimal.
And him probably more developed than most.
Absolutely.
Where it's, it becomes a thing where he visits the church and doesn't. I'll even say in the first episode of the Netflix, he visits the church, and it's a confessional thing. And
I'll give, and again, I railed against Kevin Smith earlier, but I'll give him this in his little arc there, that he the arc he did with Joe Quesada. which is, you know, again, that's something that's fairly definitive.
Yeah, I mean, it's considered one of the better ones, too.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I don't think it holds up to some of the other ones, but I think one of the aspects I kind of did like is, again, Kevin Smith can be very on the nose in general, but I did like that aspect of just sort of him actually challenging it a bit. At the beginning, he was just mired in misery.
Yeah.
And, you know, if anything, he went through far worse during the course of that story, but the fact that he was somebody who, like, his faith was a positive thing, right?
Yeah.
And again, I'm somebody who's, like, not a religious person and has a lot of criticisms and stuff, but that aspect of his character, it being, like, a positive kind of a force, where at the end, where he can sort of have a challenging sort of relationship with his God and sort of come out of that and using that as sort of, like, a positive force for his own life and for what he does. I thought that story used that quite well.
Yep.
Any thoughts?
I was writing a song about Daredevil.
Will you sing it?
I could sing it now.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it right now?
Yeah, I guess.
You all set?
Yeah. Syphilis.
And now, Kylie's.
If Daredevil had a 60s cartoon, like Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk and Thor and Captain America and Iron Man.
Like, literally everybody.
Yeah, like everybody except Daredevil.
Well, the X-Men didn't have one either.
That's true, they didn't.
Yeah.
That would have sucked.
Oh, it would have been awful.
Alright, I'm going to try this out. Lawyer by day, hero by night. His eyes aren't that great, but his ears are alright. And his nose is real great at sniffing out crime. He's the horniest guy in New York at this time. Daredevil! He's blind. That's pretty stupid.
Daredevil! You know, I think maybe we can offer that as a ringtone on the web. Yeah. That might be an idea.
99 cents. I will give you 99 cents.
I think, definitely. Nice job.
Yep.
Thanks.
One thing I read, and I haven't actually seen the show yet, but to go back to the whole thing about Hell's Kitchen being kind of a nice place now.
Yeah.
But in the show, I don't know if they touched on that, but I read that they sort of justified Hell's Kitchen being a hellhole in the show as what happened after the alien attack in the Avengers.
Yes, that is clearly
touched. Which is the smartest thing.
That's genius.
Yeah,
they're like, after all the destruction that rained down, and basically destroyed Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
Like, ready to start. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, holy shit.
Fuck this place in particular.
Well, because it says, there's like, well, because of the incident. And he's like, are we just going to call it the incident? And then somebody else is like, aliens raining down and destroying the city. That incident is that, and I was like, "Holy shit!" I didn't even think, like, obviously it's Marvel; they're gonna reference all their other stuff,
right?
But I wasn't expecting it. It was like the first episode. You're like, "Fuck, good job!"
Because again,
nice way to clarify that and to make the quick reference, and then
in this day and age, if you're gonna do it Miller style, you have to justify it. And good job, you did the work.
Well, it's a rare condition in this day and age. So. Forget it. You know what? More theme songs, huh? How about just more theme songs?
All the time. I think we have one, but they've already heard it.
I feel like I wish I could do an echo with my voice. Like, he's blind. like the end of Saved by the Bell, the college years.
Oh, yeah. On the edge of tomorrow.
Today. Well,
we
contact Ocean City Defender, and we'll go into his studio and... We'll do that.
I'll be immediately removed.
In my research, I came across there was, I don't know what year it was. Oh, 1993 was the year.
Must have been good.
Pogs were huge. Figurative.
And so was not, I. Not, I'm huge.
I'm a giant. I'm blind.
It was a, like a PSA comic. Like public service announcement.
Sure.
But it was, I saw it on somebody's list of crappy Daredevil stories. Or, oh no, it was Daredevil writers that they hated. And Mark Waid was number one. by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
He Daredevil hated. Writers that they hated. Yeah,
and it's just one guy's list. Whatever.
Oh, man.
So,
but, this is Shangoku 17 GT.
Probably.
And then in the comments, some guy posted this picture for this PSA comic.
Yeah.
And it was, what was it called? Daredevil versus Vapora. And it was basically a PSA about...
Wait, wait. Acne?
Yes, acne.
Really?
Daredevil versus Zits.
Really?
No.
Oh.
About... Aw,
damn it.
About the dangers of, like, it. Sniffing gas.
Oh, okay.
And
oh,
like, gasoline. Okay. But this guy, whoever was posting this, had no... I don't know if he... I've never read it, and I knew more about it than he did, if that makes sense. Because he's like... It's this PSA about the dangers of doing your laundry with gasoline. And he's like, and I'm like, doing your laundry with gasoline? What the fuck is he talking about? And he's like, well, it was in 1993, and I'm pretty sure back then they had laundry detergent.
Once again, fellas, this is Shungoku 17 GT. Thanks for watching. Like, comment, subscribe. That man has 20,000 followers.
Yeah. We got nothing.
But so then I look, I'm like, that can't be right. There's no way. I'm like, who washes their clothes with gasoline? That, what?
So well, I look up, you get that fresh gasoline smell in all your clothes. Yeah. You know, that lovely smell of gasoline.
Then you just light it on fire and it takes all the lint balls off everything.
Yeah.
Gone.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's real weird.
It's fucking weird, man.
Wild wacky Kool-Aid stuff.
Yep. So it wasn't Daredevil telling kids not to masturbate.
No.
Because you'll...
Oh, I thought it was a Catholicism thing.
That was him versus...
It can be both. Yeah, that's your one.
It can have levels. Have levels.
That's him versus Stiltman.
Well, We all did our one blind joke, so...
Yeah, sorry, guys.
No, that's good. That's good. Good work.
It's not good. All right.
Let's wrap this sucker up.
So I guess we like Daredevil okay.
Yep.
And we talked about him.
Oh, yeah. We like him enough to talk. ad nauseum.
Ad nauseum. Something that turned out okay.
Ad nauseousness.
You fucked it up! Sorry. Almost made it the whole episode without swearing. You notice that?
Yeah. There might have been a few. Quick question at the end.
Go.
So, two definitive versions of regular versions of Daredevil. You got the gritty. You got the swashbuckling. What do you prefer?
Gritty.
I've read more of the swashbuckling, honestly, so I kind of like the swashbuckling.
I'll be honest, I don't know...
But
I never would have used the word swashbuckling.
Well, that's sort of how it was defined. Sort of like the 60s, right? Where he was more of like a fun-loving kind of...
Well, it's... Okay, let's just say grim or fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grim or fun.
Grim. I'm always grim. Yeah.
I like the fun. But at the same time, I want to see that yellow and red suit make a comeback.
Yeah. I actually like...
Yeah, it's a nice...
I like the yellow and red suit.
It's like an acrobat. It's like a fun costume.
Again?
Or the armor.
The armor.
The stupid... Yeah, yeah. Yep. I'm going to say, I like a nice mix. So I think we found ourselves in the middle this time.
You mother...
I got zero issues.
All right, who are we?
I am Bri Kotick. You can find me at welcometohereafter.com, or you can type my name into the Googles. It's Brykotyk. I'll be there. I'll be there for you.
I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. Merc on the Book of Face nowadays as well, and of course, Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
That's us.
Yeah. And I'm Kyle Lees. You can check my stuff out at skiningas.com. Please.
Yep.
You can.
Also, check out Ocean City Defender, who did our theme song.
Hell yeah.
He's fantastic. Excellent
musician.
And worth mentioning, we don't mention every week, but Kyle is he's also our producer, and he edits these episodes, which is time-consuming, and he does a great job at that. So, special shout-out, because he puts in a ton of work to this. And so,
thanks a lot, big guy.
Hey, if you guys love me as much as these guys love me, which I think is a lot, you should click that subscribe button. Throw us some likes on the Facebook page. Tell your friends. Tell a friend about the show. Be like, hey, here's this thing. You've got 40 minutes. You're not going anywhere. Listen to this.
And let me also say, this is airing next week. Next week, right. I am going to be in Calgary at the Calgary Comic Expo.
Oh, yeah.
With my partner Martel, Mirka Martel, in Artist Alley, booth Q06. With all our books and gear and merch shirts and nowadays stuff and whatever. If you're in the area, come by, say hi.
Yeah.
I got lots of stuff. And we're actually giving away tons of free stuff. I have a box of free stuff that people are going to walk by. I'm just going to throw stuff at them. This will fit. Put it on.
If you're in Calgary, you know what to do. What he just said. Go to that.
And if you're in Minneapolis next weekend, leave me the fuck alone. I'm there to have a good time. I don't have any free stuff. Stop touching my stuff.
Oh, hey, we're also on iTunes. Okay, let's just end this.
Feed the bird.
Daredevil's the name.
Feed the bird.
Distraction's my game. And if I don't make it, it's been a real slice of heaven, gang. Hang loose, heroes.